Swami Maharaj's lecture, he was speaking very nicely about the glories of the holy names of the Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear, Ite chamsa kolo pumsha krishna shtu bhagavan swayam indriya vyakalam lokam ridayunte juge juge, that all of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of plenary portions. But Krishna Shtu Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. In commenting on this verse, Śrīla Prabhupāda has many times stated that there are innumerable incarnations of the Lord. Just to give us an analogy so that our mind can understand, he says, just like the waves in the ocean. If you walk along the seashore, you can see there's so many waves coming constantly, 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 impossible to count all of them. And all of those incarnations are coming for the same, coming into the material world for the same purpose. Paritranaya sadhanam, to enliven the devotees, to deal with the miscreants who harass the devotees, to deal with the miscreants who harass the devotees, and to constantly re-establish the principles of religion. So again and again, the incarnations of the Lord are coming for these three purposes. And they're all very merciful. But Śrīla Prabhupāda has explained that this incarnation of the Lord, Kalair Dosha Nidhe Rajan Astiyeka Mahaguna Kirtanadi Vakrishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramvaja, this incarnation of the Lord, the holy names of the Lord, is most merciful. That verse we quoted from 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami is telling Maharaj Parikshit that the age of Kali is an ocean of inauspiciousness. But Kirtanadi Vakrishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramajet, despite the fact that everything is contaminated, inauspicious in Kali Yuga, there's, by the mercy of the Lord, there's one good thing left in this age. And what is that one good thing? That simply by chanting Krishna's holy name, Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya, singing the holy name of Krishna, one can achieve a perfection and go back home, back to the spiritual world, back to Godhead. In other words, for the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga in particular, there's only one hope left, and that is chanting the holy names of the Lord. And the holy names of the Lord are so merciful that anyone and everyone can take advantage of that mercy. Whereas in previous ages, the other processes, such as meditation or performing yagyas or temple worship, basically it was the higher castes, it was the brahmanas and the kshatriyas who could take full advantage of those processes. In the Kali Yuga, not only the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas, but also the Vaishyas and the Sudras, they can also take advantage and go back home, back to Godhead, by the mercy of the holy name.
коли люди не тільки брахмани, дівчатарі, так же вайші, шудри, можуть воспользоваться преимуществами духовної практики і вернутися назад Богу.
But the most amazing thing is that even the Chandalas, even the Yavanas, even the Malachas, they can also take advantage of the holy name from their fallen position and also go back home, back to Godhead.
Но самое удивительное, что даже Чандалы, Яваны не могут принять прибежище святого имени и тоже развить в себе качество, чтобы вернуться обратно к Богу.
This is the amazing mercy of the holy name.
Это очень удивительная милость святого имени.
In previous ages, the Brahmanas, and to some cases the Kshatriyas, but in Kali Yuga, even the Yavanas, even the Malachas, the most fallen can take advantage. And because those processes which were available in previous ages are no longer potent enough to deliver the fallen conditioned souls in this age, there remains only one singular hope for everyone, and that is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Поскольку те процессы, которые практиковались в предыдущие века, они уже утратили свою возможность, то есть мы не можем больше воспользоваться ими, осталась только одна единственная возможность для нас, и это воспевание Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
So if there's only one hope left, you have to take proper advantage of that. And Srila Prabhupada explains in his Nectar of Devotion, which is actually a commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that the holy name is very merciful, but one should not take it, one should not abuse that mercy, otherwise there's no hope left.
Которая является на самом деле комментарием Бхакти Расамрита Сингху, что человек не должен неправильным образом относиться к этой милости, иначе мы можем потерять ее.
He describes abusing that mercy as committing offenses to the holy names of the Lord.
И неправильное отношение к этой милости обозначает совершать оскорбление святого имени.
Anyone and everyone can be delivered by the mercy of the holy name, but if one offends that all-merciful holy name of the Lord, then there's no hope for deliverance.
Любой каждый может получить освобождение благодаря процессу воспевания святого имени, но если человек совершает оскорбление святого имени, тогда для него нет надежды.
So we have to take proper advantage by chanting the holy names as our spiritual master instructs us and trains us and inspires us.
Поэтому мы должны принять участие в повторении святого имени надлежащим образом, так как нас наставляет наш духовный учитель.
And we have to be very attentive to avoiding any offenses to the holy names, which may slow our progress down, or in some cases take away all the benefits that we have gained through chanting Hare Krishna in this lifetime, or for that matter, many lifetimes together.
Мы должны с большим вниманием стараться избегать этих оскорблений, которые в некоторых случаях могут замедлить процесс преданного служения, в некоторых случаях могут его остановить или свести к нулю все наши достижения в бхакти-йоге в этой жизни или же даже за несколько предыдущих жизней.
And therefore, just to impress upon us the importance of taking proper advantage and avoiding the offenses, Prabhupada requested that at every Harinam initiation, I mean Harinam Diksha, chanting or being initiated in the first initiation, Harinam initiation, there should be some discussion on the 10 offenses.
Для того, чтобы подчеркнуть важность избегания этих 10 оскорблений, Шрила Прабхупада делает такую практику, что на каждой лекции, на каждой инициации мы должны обсуждать эти 10 оскорблений, как избегать 10 оскорблений.
And we should listen attentively.
И мы должны слушать внимательно.
Actually, in many temples these offenses are mentioned every day before the japa period.
На самом деле, в большинстве храмов во время утренней программы перед утренней джапой преданные читают эти 10 оскорблений.
And one shouldn't think, oh yes, I've heard this so many times, I know these things.
Человек не должен думать, что, ну да, я слышал это много раз, я все это знаю.
Because Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has pointed out that upon chanting the holy names of the Lord, if ecstatic symptoms don't appear on the body, that means that one is still guilty of committing one or more of the 10 offenses to the Holy Name.
Это обозначает, что человек все еще виноват в совершении одного или большего количества оскорблений Святого Имени.
The ecstatic symptoms of standing of the hair on end, the faltering of the voice. Tears coming to the eyes, sometimes falling unconscious on the ground. Of course, these are very advanced symptoms, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that if you chant and you don't experience any of these symptoms, that means that somehow or other you're still guilty of one or more of these offenses. So we should hear attentively every day and meditate on this and try to free ourselves from these offenses.
Конечно же, это очень возвышенные симптомы очень возвышенной стадии преданного служения. Но мы должны понимать, что если мы воспеваем Святое Имя, и мы не проявляем эти признаки, это означает, что мы по-прежнему продолжаем совершать одно или большее оскорбление.
There's the offensive stage of chanting, there's the stage where one is freed from offenses, and there's the pure chanting of the Holy Name. Apparently, we're still at the stage of trying to become freed from these offenses. So the first offense to the Holy Name is to blaspheme great devotees who have dedicated their lives for preaching the glories of the Lord.
Так, первое оскорбление – это поносить великих преданных, которые посвятили свою жизнь распространению Святого Имени.
It's specifically mentioned here that that type of devotee who is preaching the glories of the Lord.
Здесь в особенности упоминаются те преданные, которые проповедуют славу Господа.
We have to be particularly careful not to offend that type of devotee.
Нам следует особой осторожностью не оскорблять именно этих преданных.
We hear that there are two types of devotees, and we are meant to respect both of them, of course. There's the Goshtananandi, who is basically chanting in seclusion, in isolation, somewhere for his own progress in Krishna consciousness. And there's the Goshtananandi, there's one who's chanting for himself, but he's also chanting for the benefit of others. We see that in the life of the Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat that Haridas Thakur, he would chant 300,000 names of the Lord every day. Names he would chant Manasha, he would chant in his mind. 100,000 names he would chant as we do, softly, in japa. And 100,000 names of the Lord he would chant daily at the top of his lungs. I don't know if you've ever chanted. Well, of course, you probably have chanted a couple of times at the top of your lungs. Top of your lungs, that's an English phrase. Top of your lungs means as loud as you can chant. You scream and then you're hoarse afterwards. We'll do that a few times a year, maybe in great happiness or trying to express our joy on Sankirtan, but can you imagine every day 100,000 names at as loud as you can chant? Why would one do that? You can chant softly. If you're attentive, you can hear the sound of the Holy Name. Shishi Gandharvika Girit Hari Ki. Why would one chant so loudly? One would chant so loudly on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Зачем же нам воспевать громко? Зачем? Почему Чайтанья дал такой приказ?
We know it is the expressed desire of Lord Chaitanya that this chanting be spread to every town and village so that people can get the opportunity for becoming Krishna conscious. Even if they don't chant, if they just hear the holy names, they're performing devotional service. Agyatso Kriti means that you're performing devotional service without knowing you're performing devotional service. So chanting is one form of devotional service, but hearing, that's also one of the 9 processes of devotional service. Isn't it? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnishmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Shravanam is the first item listed in the 9 processes, hearing the glories of Krishna. So when we go out and we chant at the top of our lungs, which I'm not going to do, I'll become hoarse, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Anyone who hears that holy name is essentially, by hearing, performing devotional service. Of course, it's not very advanced devotional service, it's hardly the beginning, but it's something. Confucius, he's one Chinese philosopher, he said the longest journey begins with the first step. And sometimes as a response, people also repeat the Maha Mantra. Or they say Krishna's name for whatever reason. Maybe even inimically they may say Krishna's name, but the holy name is all powerful. Actually, the last few festivals we've been encouraging, we've taken a bold step in the preaching on the tour. We're actually at the festival site on the last the lecture before the final kirtan. We're asking the people in the audience to chant Hare Krishna. And after we teach them, from our vantage point on the stage, you can see many people are chanting the Maha Mantra during the last kirtan. And Śrīla Prabhupāda told my dear godbrother Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj one time, he said, if someone just chants Krishna's name one time, the Lord has his little book and he writes that person's name down in the book and he follows that person life after life until he makes him into a devotee. So one who undergoes the austerity, and it is an austerity to have to go out amongst the non-devotees to preach the glories of the holy name, that devotee becomes very dear to the Lord. One who undergoes austerity on behalf of the Lord becomes endeared to the Lord. I told the story how one time we came back from Sankirtan on the streets of Paris. Prabhupada was visiting the temple. And we'd had a difficult day. Our Harinam was interrupted several times and it was raining and this and that had happened. But Prabhupada asked me, he said, so, because I was the Sankirtan leader, he asked me, how was the preaching today? How was the Sankirtan?
І у нас був дуже тяжкий день, перемена прерывалась несколько раз, йшов дощ, і ми испытывали какие-то трудности. Но когда мы вернулись, Шрила Прабхупада спросил меня, поскольку я был лидером санкиртаны, ну как все прошло?
And I said, you know, I said, honestly, it was difficult for Srila Prabhupada. It was hard to give out the books today. And we had, so Prabhupada, he said, when did I ever say that preaching was easy? And he was expecting a reply from me. He said, when did I ever say preaching was easy? I had to answer my spiritual master. And I tried to think. No, you didn't say. But as Prahlad was mentioning, reminding me yesterday, that Srila Prabhupada wrote to His Holiness Prabhu Vishnu Swami that all the austerities that he was undergoing in doing book distribution in the early years in England, he said that because it was so nectarian preaching Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said that you felt that under all those austerities were just like child's play.
И как упоминал Прохлад, как Шрила Прабхупада написал в письме Прабхупаде с вами, что все те аскезы, которые вы проходили во время санкиртаны в Англии, все они были из-за милости Кришны, были просто подобны детской игре.
So those devotees, and that pretty much includes everyone in ISKCON, because everyone in ISKCON is meant to be a preacher. We're Goshtananandis. According to time, place, and circumstance, we're all trying to help. We should be very careful not to criticize such devotees who are very dear to the Lord. Even if there is reason to criticize, we should hold our tongue. It's not that neophyte or intermediate devotees don't have material desires, they don't have faults, they don't have weaknesses. They do. We all do. But there's a difference between fault finding and constructive criticism.
Но существует определенная разница между желанием искать недостатки и конструктивной критикой.
We find fault to make ourselves look better.
Мы ищем недостатки, чтобы сделать себя лучше.
And constructive criticism means that one who's in a position of authority, like the spiritual master, the sankirtan leader, the temple president, the husband, the wife, whatever, in a position of authority, they address the fault with the idea of bringing that person up to the same level of Krishna consciousness as I am, or we are, or the authority is. That's constructive criticism.
И конструктивная критика обозначает, что тот, кто находится в положении старшего, в положении авторитета, то есть, например, духовный учитель для учеников, муж для жены или президент храма, они делают нам какие-то замечания для того, чтобы поднять нас на тот же уровень духовного развития, на котором они находятся сами.
And if we see that fault in that devotee, we should understand that fault's not going to last very long because that devotee is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. And those faults are material by nature, and the power of the holy name, which is completely spiritual, will eventually burn those material attachments, those weaknesses, those faults to ashes.
И мы понимаем, что поскольку эти недостатки являются материальными, воспевание святого имени – это духовный процесс, то в очень скором будущем оно сожжет все эти недостатки, и они обратятся в пепел.
The tendency for fault finding can even be dovetailed. You can just look in the mirror and find the same faults within your own heart, because it's difficult to recognize them in others unless you have them yourselves.
Тенденция поиска недостатков, ее можно очень легко проиллюстрировать так, что если вы просто посмотрите в зеркало, вы с легкостью можете найти в этом человеке все эти недостатки, поскольку если вы не можете видеть недостатки в другом человеке, если вы не обладаете ими сами.
So to be on the safe side, we should always be glorifying the devotees.
И чтобы быть в безопасности, нам следует всегда прославлять преданных.
And that's how we begin our day. Vanchakalpaturubhyascha kripasindubhyascha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. We heard how Raghunath Das Goswami, he was offering obeisances every day to 10,000 devotees at Radhakund. Are we to assume that there were 10,000 completely unadulterated, pure Mahabhagavata devotees living at Radhakund at the same time? No, they were probably aspiring devotees, intermediate devotees, advanced devotees, pure devotees. There was a society of devotees at all levels. But Raghunath Das Goswami, he saw the good in all those devotees, that they had decided to, once and for all, give up their selfish interest in this material world and take to the service of Radha and Krishna. So he appreciated that, he honored that. So he was offering obeisances even to devotees who were less advanced than himself. This is a Vaishnava. So we're spending most of the time, there's nine other offenses, we'll speak briefly, but we're spending most of the time on this offense because this offense is described by Jiva Goswami as the Hati Mata, or the Mad Elephant offense. We have our festival, we have our elephant, and I must say the devotees, the actors are so expert, he really is looking like a real elephant now, the way that they act inside. And that elephant, we have to clear everybody back from the stage, because when an elephant comes into a place, he's mad, he's angry, he creates total destruction. So if there's anything that will destroy our tender creeper, of the Bhakti Lata creeper, it's very tender now. It's like a fresh green creeper, just starting to grow our devotional. Is there anything that can destroy that little creeper? It's the mad elephant offense of criticizing other devotees. Those faults that are there in the hearts of the devotee, that guru is meant to deal with that, temple president, those in authority, they're meant to deal with it in an effective way. It's not that we turn the blind eye, but there's a proper process for dealing with these material things. The second offense is to consider the holy name of Vishnu or Krishna to be equal to or independent to the names of the demigods. Krishna's name is eternally auspicious. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Taitanya Rasa Vigraha, as we've been mentioning the last few weeks at the lecture from the stage, the Lord is personally present in the sound of his name. But any name you may be given as a jivatma, that's more or less like a label. A label. Tag, you know, label. In Vedic culture, when the baby was born, the astrologer was called in and he saw the qualities of that child. He gave an appropriate name for that child to illustrate how that child will be. If he was going to be a noble, frivolous person, he might give him the name Yudhishthira or Arjuna or something. But he could have chosen any name.
ведические времена, когда рождался ребенок, обычно призывался астролог, и он видел качество ребенка, и благодаря, в соответствии с этими качествами, ему давали определенное имя. Например, если астролог видел, что это будет какая-то благородная, возвышенная личность, его могли назвать, к примеру, Криштира, или еще как-нибудь.
Group can be given the name, you know, Radharani Dasi or whatever, but So similarly, the demigods is a post. Some jivatma assumes the post of the demigod for some period of time. He assumes the name Brahma, he assumes the name Indra, he assumes the name like this. He assumes that those living entities who are most pious, they assume those exalted positions of the demigods. They get the label for that lifetime. Brahma, Indra, like that. Prabhupada even has described that the most pious living entity in the universe, he assumes the post of Brahma.
И Шрила Прабхупада говорит в одном из своих комментариев, что наиболее благочестивое существо во Вселенной, оно достигает положения Брахмы.
So by assuming that name, those names are not as powerful as the absolute names of the Lord.
И таким образом эти имена или ярлыки, они не являются такими могущественными, как святое имя.
They're not absolute like the names of the Supreme Personality of God. And by chanting the names of Brahma or Indra or Varuna, whatever the different names of the powerful demigods, one doesn't achieve anything near what one achieves by chanting the holy names of Krishna.
То есть эти имена, они не являются абсолютными, как имена верховной личности Бога, и благодаря воспеванию имен Брахма, Индра, мы не получим то же самое благо, которое мы можем получить, воспевая святое имя Господа.
Actually, generally one chants the names of the demigods. There are certain mantras which have names of the demigods, like Durga, within them, but generally by chanting those names, one is aspiring for some material benediction. But what is the benefit of chanting Krishna's name? No material benediction. You get freedom from all sinful reactions. All your material desires are purified. And eventually you achieve love of God. So how can any material benediction achieved from glorifying the names of the demigods compare to even one, what to speak of all the blessings from chanting Krishna's name? The third offense is to disobey the instructions of the spiritual master. The instructions of the spiritual master are the life and soul of the disciple. By fulfilling the instructions of the spiritual master, we receive his blessings. And by displeasing the spiritual master, then we may, not that he will curse us, but he will displease with us and our advancement will be very slow. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. The Vedic literatures are given to the living entities as like a manual how to get out of material, the forest of material illusion. Without that map, we're lost in the material world. Not only do they direct us out of the material world, but our literatures, especially our Gaudiya literatures, they direct us carefully, even beyond the goal of Vaikuntha, to the goal of Goloka Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
So the Vedic literature is also a form of our well-wisher. The fifth offense is to give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. The sixth offense is to consider the glories of the holy name to be imaginary. It may seem so simple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Generally, the solution to any problem in this world is quite difficult in and of itself. And to solve a problem in this world, one has to go through so much effort, so much endeavor. It's rare, very rare that a problem is solved very easily. Prahlad Maharaj mentions this in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that sometimes the difficulty, the problems of life are the solution to the problem is even more difficult than the problem itself. He mentions this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So when someone hears that just by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, all problems are solved, he may think, oh, this is just someone's imagination. How is this possible? Therefore, we have the example of so many devotees, so many personalities, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Sudras, Malechas, and Yavanas, who have all been delivered by the chanting of the holy name. Therefore, it cannot be said it's imaginary, because there's proof, there's evidence. Mrigari the hunter, Prahlad, the author of Ramayana, Valmiki, these are examples of persons who were originally fallen but became delivered. It's not imagination. The glories of the holy name are not imagination. We have so much evidence. Number seven, to commit sin on the strength of the holy name. Again, this is abusing the mercy of the holy name, that by chanting Hare Krishna, all these things are achieved, freedom from sinful reaction, material desires are uprooted, and prema may manifest. So understanding the potency of the holy name, if one thinks that he can commit sin and then become purified by chanting, this is the greatest rascal. And number eight, to consider the chanting of the holy names to be like the ritualistic activities mentioned in the Vedas, particularly Karma Kanda. It's very clear in the Vedic scriptures that Karma Kanda, the ritualistic activities of Karma Kanda, can take you as high and not further than Svarga Loka. But again, chanting Hare Krishna takes you beyond Svarga Loka, even beyond Vaikunthi, the official kingdom of God, to the loving kingdom of God, Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. So nothing can compare to chanting Hare Krishna. It's also an offense to preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless. Of course, we've discussed this many times. We're out there preaching to the faithless, but we're not preaching the intimate glories of the holy name. We're not revealing to the people the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but the initial benefits of chanting would be becoming free from suffering, becoming happy, joyful, full of knowledge, etc. And last but not least, because each of these offenses are as important to avoid as all the others, to maintain material attachments even after hearing so many instructions on this matter. Just like the parents, they tolerate the frivolous activities of their young children. Even their naughtiness. Even being naughty. That you tolerate in a two-year-old. They have what they call, when a child reaches 2 years of age, it's called the terrible twos. It means that they're especially naughty at 2 years of age. That can be tolerated, of course. But it's to be understood, as the child grows up, he becomes mature, he gives up that naughty behavior. Gives up the frivolous sports and becomes serious about school and study and career, etc. So it's to be understood, when we first come into Krishna consciousness, we're coming with material desires. How could it be otherwise? If we didn't have material desires, we wouldn't be in this material world. So it's to be understood, when we come to devotional service at whatever age we may come, we're coming with material desires and we're agreeing to deal with them, to purify them and awaken our love for Krishna. But if one is strict in the process of devotional service, following the rules and regulations, particularly in chanting the holy names, we will be able to see a sign of advancement. And that sign of advancement is that one is gradually relinquishing those material desires and becoming more and more serious about the process of Krishna consciousness. One has to be prepared to relinquish the material desire. At some point you have to draw the line. You can't fulfill your material ambitions and your deeper spiritual ambitions. It's called rasa basa. It won't work. At one point you have to relinquish and fully surrender to Krishna. Just like Jesus said, you can't serve mammon, you can't serve matter, you can't serve material desires, and God, he said simultaneously. Of course, there's a purity of grace which is given, you know, it practically almost a lifetime, you could say, where one is allowed to gradually relinquish those material desires and fully embrace Atmanivedanam, the last process of the nine processes of devotional service, fully embraces the process of Krishna
consciousness.
And some devotees may be advancing quicker, some may be giving up these material desires quicker than others.
И может быть, кто-то из преданных, он быстрее совершает прогресс, кто-то быстрее расстается со своими материальными желаниями.
But what the spiritual master is looking for is to seeing that there's a sincere attempt to make that.
Он хочет видеть, что ученики совершают искренние попытки.
Especially gross material desires like lust and anger and greed.
В особенности того, чтобы покончить с такими грубыми материальными желаниями, такими как вожделение, жадность. Yeah.
If one's spiritual master sees that at least an attempt is being made, this, we're attempting to control those desires and we're attempting to fully engage in devotional service, then that is all right. And Jiva Goswami gives an 11th offense. He says the 11th offense is to be inattentive while chanting. And he describes that 11th offense, in some commentaries, that's described as the most serious offense. Just like you can know all the rules for driving safely, but if you're inattentive while you're driving, then you can have a major accident. So it's important that while we're chanting the holy names of the Lord, we are attentive. If we're attentive, which means that we're chanting with an understanding of the glories of the holy name, it will be the chances of committing the other 10 offenses will be less. If you know the value of something, you're much more attentive to taking proper care of it. If you don't appreciate the value of something, you may misuse it, actually. So not only should we constantly be chanting the holy names of the Lord, we should also be discussing amongst ourselves, in our classes, in our private discussions, the glories of the holy name. And through those discussions, we'll be much more eager to chant attentively and much more careful to avoid the offenses.
Мы будем гораздо больше стремиться к тому, чтобы воспевать внимательно.
Харе Кришна.